With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's do the right thing! To the podcast panel show that wants to do the right thing in any situation. For example, what is the correct way to leave a burning hotel or have sex at work? The answer to both is quickly and not in the lift. I'm Danielle Ward, and with me trying to do the right thing today, on my left, a woman just pretty enough that if she went missing, it would be commercially viable for the tabloids to report on the search. Her. Fingers of a genius, surname of a serial killer. It's Jeremy Lim! And on my right, it's not Michael Legg, because he's gone to Belfast by mistake. Instead, it's Howard Reed! And with him, bad play, bad musical, and now bad panel show appearance, it's Paul Litchfield! It's time for the first round, The Importance of Being Right.
The importance of being right.
In this round, I give each team a scenario and they have to tell me the right thing to do according to some answers I found in Admiral Internet space trousers. Margaret and Jeremy, it's your scenario first. You've just escaped from a live dramatisation of 50 Shades of Grey. It wasn't anywhere near as sexy as you'd imagined, and everyone spoke like they were insane. On the way home, you both need a bit of cheering up, so pull into a paint-your-own-mug place. You love those places. However, the owner has left the lid off her tarantula tank, and before long, you've got a hairy beast poking its way up your leg. But according to the worst-case scenario handbook, what is the best way to deal with a tarantula on your leg?
Aren't you supposed to look it in the eye and sort of try and make them feel at ease, and then...
Make the spider feel at ease.
Take their rucksack off. No, that's terrorists. I think it's important for it to know that you're screaming with it, not at it.
Where is the tarantula?
It's on your leg.
Is it sort of going up or down? Do we know?
Up.
Or it's going up?
Definitely going up.
Oh, in which case, what you do is you pretend, you sit around a dinner table like in a Carry On film, and then think you're being felt up by anyone sat around you.
You see, Jeremy here is accurately quoting Carry On Up the Jungle.
We are in a paint-your-own mug shop, which is mainly frequented by children, though.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Does that complicate things at all?
Yeah, that does.
I think what you do is you lay very still, turn on Netflix, if you have it, you watch The Fly, because spiders, of course, like flies. But what you do
Jeff
is you have the volume down very low, and the spider will naturally approach the television going, I can't hear a thing. And then lamp it with a lamp.
A very good answer.
Yeah, I think that's pretty feasible.
Could you dance a tarantella? And it would flick off naturally. No? Alright.
Are you scared of creepy crawlies? Howard, would you live in a country that had scorpions and poisonous spiders as part of a way of life?
When you say as part of a way of life, is that the diet, or you have to sleep on them, or... Because as a teenager, I had pet snakes.
Really?
And, yes, not big dangerous ones, but red sign garter snakes. My wife has a massive, massive phobia of snakes.
Yeah.
I don't have one anymore, but I've tattooed my penis.
My cousin Andrew works on a poultry farm in Kent, but that's by the by. But he has a snake, and it's a proper boa constrictor, and he went to sleep and it came out of its... it's not box, is it? It's cage.
Vivarium.
It came out of its bungalow.
Vivarium.
And it started to digest his wrist.
What?
Yeah. Digest his wrist.
No, it's not just constricting. Common misconception.
No, but to digest it, you'd have to get all
quite...
Their stomach starts behind the eyes.
So what, has he got a stomach?
Just right behind the eyes is officially the stomach.
That is why snakes never put on weight.
Exactly.
Because
anyway, he had to snap its head off.
God.
And it was his own pet. He wasn't happy about it, but he had to do it.
But he had a lovely bangle.
He did, yes.
written by my pet snake called Griff, named after Griff Rhys-Jones. Oh, yeah. and because they can't spit things out because their teeth only go one way. You're just stuck in my mind. I think it's going, ah. Like, that doesn't really work on a podcast. I'll try this.
Ah.
And I had to flick him off. That isn't a euphemism for wank. It's very hard to wank off a snake.
They don't have clitorises.
Can you wank the whole snake?
Hold on. This was a boy snake. That would be weird.
Margaret, what's the most exotic animal you've ever wanked off?
This is not what I was expecting from this evening,
no?
I have to say. Yeah.
Shall I simplify the question?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do yes, tarantulas please. Have fatal bites?
Not many, no. Most of them, it's no more painful than a bee sting, I believe.
Is that correct, Ben?
Well, Paul is correct, but also I think Jeremy was earlier, actually.
Oh. Well, the Carry On film.
No, the Dancing
Carry
the
On, not the Arachnophobia.
The classic of the Dancing the Tarantella.
I will get there. The vast majority of tarantulas do not have fatal bites, so point to Paul. However, their bites can cause dangerous allergic reactions in some individuals and can be extremely painful. If swelling or pain persists for longer than 12 hours or more serious symptoms develop, seek medical attention. Watch closely for complications. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, it's a very responsible website. You have been bitten
Ben,
by
Ben, I didn't realise you
were
going to go full-on Latin with us there.
Find something you can use to brush the tarantula off you. A rolled-up newspaper works well, they say. Most tarantulas are very skittish, and as soon as you poke them, they will leave in great haste. If the tarantula cannot be brushed off, stand up carefully and bounce up and down gently. The tarantula should fall off or skitter away. I reckon the tarantella is similar to that. So, point to each team.
Right.
Howard and Paul, here is your one. Okay. Sick of a life with no real meaning, you wake up one morning and decide to start your own vigilante movement. Howard puts up the posters while Paul gets the t-shirts made. You even have your own logo. It's going incredibly well. You've kicked loads of bad guys' ass and the streets feel much safer at night. Everyone is so impressed that Prince William, Prince of Persia, wants to meet you both and bring his wife Kate something with him. Well, you can't serve him a bad cup of tea, can you? He'll think you're a total shitbag. So according to the Royal Society of Chemistry, what is the right way to make a perfect cup of tea?
Fuck the Royal Society of Chemistry. You put the tea bag in first with the sugar if you have sugar, put the water in, and then you add milk and then stir it until it's right colour. That is a crime. I don't care what the fucking Queen says. Or the Royal Society of Chemistry. That is how.
Howard, you didn't even say whether the water was hot.
have you ever been out for afternoon tea in a swanky hotel?
The Lanesborough's got a very nice tea room. It was designed by the same chap who did the tea room on the Titanic. So if you want to get an accurate idea of what one of the tea rooms looked like on the Titanic, go to the Lanesborough, and it's exactly the same.
Is it very wet?
Well, I just think obsession with the Titanic.
There were other nice boats.
But sank and everyone died.
Well, no, that's what everyone likes.
Do you think,
it.
Like,
well, that's weird.
In 80 years' time, we'll all be doing like Herald of Free Enterprise.
Too soon.
No, I don't think we will. What's your anti-Titanic rant?
Hey, there's a weird sort of fetishisation of something that was beautiful, but there were other ships that were beautiful that didn't sink.
Can you remember
everyone.
Any of the names of any of the other ships that didn't sink?
The Mauritania.
Oh, good. Oh,
the Phantasmagorica.
Dawn Treader.
The Phoenix. I mean, this wasn't an area I wanted to get into particularly.
Well, let's discuss Titanic, shall we?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was waiting for you to finish to say that. I didn't even check.
I have a tea-based anecdote, and it's horrible.
A horrible tea-based anecdote.
But I feel the need to share. The first job I ever had was working for Mother's Pride. And my job, because I was a tiny chap, was to crawl into the ovens. Because they were the size of football pitches, and it was too expensive to turn them off.
Paul, so did you grow up in the 18th century?
No, I grew up in Devon, which I believe is close enough. Close enough. Because they were such huge industrial ovens, they just open up the cooling tanks and we crawl in and clean them. But anyway, that's by the by. My foreman one day, we're having a tea break, and he said to me, "Would you like a chocolate digestive with your tea?" And I went, "Yeah, thank you." And he gave me a digestive, and I thought nothing of it. But he sort of looked at me in a coquettish way and said, "Would you like another chocolate digestive with your tea?" And I just went, yeah. And I was only about 13 and very scared of this strange man. And I just went, there's no chocolate on my digestives. And then he said, and I quote, the chocolate has melted off because of the heat of my knob. And then I left the job.
Did you report him, Paul?
We
did. Is this your way of reporting?
Yeah, this is now my way of reporting.
Did it look like it was a digestive where the chocolate melted off? Or did
do you know what? It sort of it? Did. It did look like a digestive. Yeah, I know. That's the terrible amendment to this. Oh, sorry.
He must have rolled it round to get...
Unless it was so hot that just anything vaguely near it would melt.
Oh, possibly, yeah. Just fire
convection. I can understand a Cadbury's finger. Because you could align that with the shaft and get on with your day.
You'd have to rotate it, then, as
a
rotisserie.
Yeah.
I thought your horrible story was going to be about someone dying in the oven. Really disappointed.
Sorry to disappoint you about that. No one died in our ovens.
So, which would you put in your cup first? The tea or the milk?
See, I'm using a tea bag. This is tea. How common I'm being. I'm using a tea bag and a mug in my head.
There's nothing wrong with the tea bag. How much better can it get?
Either way, I'd put the tea in first if it was from a pot.
You've obviously never tried my Fabergé tea. No, it's tea first, then milk.
No, I think that's just a weird etiquette thing. A lady on Woman's Hour said it didn't matter.
Producer Ben, what are the actual answers?
Well, no one gets any points.
Oh!
Okay, don't use previously boiled water because that will have less dissolved oxygen in it, which will bring out the flavour.
You whisk it first.
There's some good weird tips in here. Whilst waiting for the water to boil, pre-warm a ceramic teapot. To do this, pour in 1/4 cup of water and heat it in a microwave oven on full power for 1 minute.
What?
Swilling hot water in the pot is not good enough, apparently.
Who says?
Place 1 round of teaspoon of loose leaf Assam tea per cup into the pot. Take the pot to the kettle as it boils. Pour water onto the leaves and stir. Leave it to brew for 3 minutes. Caffeine infusion is largely complete within the first minute.
Oh, fuck off. Tea bag is absolutely fine. How good can it fucking get? It's tea, okay? Fucking tea. And mind you, instant coffee is disgusting.
Okay, final point from these chemists. Drink the tea at between 60 to 65 degrees centigrade to avoid vulgar slurping.
I'm back on board.
At the end of that round, I think the scores are even.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And now it is time for agony. In this round, our panel are going to arbitrate over the problems of our audience, like King Solomon or Jeremy Kyle, by which I mean their advice will usually involve cutting a baby in half. Before that, though, let's test them out with a real problem sent to a real agony aunt. Margaret, can you read this, please?
Dear agony aunt, I gave birth to our firstborn, a girl, just 4 weeks ago. We chose to name her Clementina after my late mother, but now our best friends have also just given birth to a little girl and they decided to call her Clementina too. They say there's no ownership on names and it was the wife's great aunt's middle name and they like it. They virtually said like it or lump it. They knew how special this name was to me. Am I silly to feel so hurt? I wonder if you can tell by the tone in which I read that. I think she's
can I just
silly
a point of clarity?
Sure.
Clementina 2. Is that... Yeah. How's that spelled? Is that Roman numerals 2 or is that T-double-O?
Clementina
2. Her middle name's The Reckoning.
The sequel, baby.
Paul, what advice would you offer?
I don't know. Make the babies fight to the death. The winner keeps the name.
One of them could be called Clem.
Oh, Clem's a nice name.
For a farmer.
Or a prime minister.
Topical. My dad had a friend at work called Frank Widgy Wodgy, and he had a paper mache leg.
So that's your advice to this lady?
Yeah, that's my advice, yes. Look at my father's past.
My mum's got two brothers called Stephen.
What?
That's true. Because her mum forgot. Stephen, Paul, Anna, and Stephen.
I actually got a letter from the council recently that said, you were visited on May the 24th by Sunday on a banjo. And I thought, no, I wasn't, because I'd remember that. A man called Sunday on a banjo had come round to talk to me about my leaky roof.
That's a Smith song, isn't it?
I did meet him. He was a very, very serious man. I wouldn't have mocked his name.
There was a letter that came through my door addressed to someone called Cleopatrilla. Because obviously Cleopatra is a bit ordinary, isn't it? You need to frill it up a bit. Also, I played at a wedding once where the bride was called Scheherazade. Ooh. And she was getting married to someone whose surname was Sprunt.
I've got a friend who worked at the birth registry in the Deep South, and she had a few good names. But one of them, there was a pair of twins, a boy and a girl. And the dad was called Vernon, okay? So the boy was called Vernon. Guess what the girl was called? Vernona, do I hear? No? Anyone else? She Vernon. Awesome name, isn't it? She Vernon.
That's amazing. That's
so bad. Anyway, Clementina is the name that we're discussing.
All right.
Carl Free, do you have children?
I do.
And how would you feel if one of your friends...
See, we had this... my eldest is called Samson. At his first nursery, when he was about two, there was another woman with a son called Samson. And she was really pissed off. She had exactly this sort of... No, you can't... There can't be... He's called Sam. She rechristened our son, Sam. Yeah.
Oh. Did you rechristen her Prick?
Yeah, we did.
Then what's the actual answer?
The agony aunt says, what's in a name? Much more than we think. In the 70s, when dozens of my friends joined religious cults, I always got confused.
Dozens is at least 24.
I always got confused when jolly old Julia suddenly shipped up as Manjana, or goofy young Rodney reappeared as Vishnu. So, this was in the Independent. So your friends should be asked how they think Paula Yates would feel if a close friend called her own children Fifi Trixabel and Tiger Lily.
I'm not sure she's bothered now.
Well, these friends really lack sensitivity and kindness. Perhaps you should go round to see them and ask, with genuine puzzlement, what dreadful thing you've done to make them hurt you so much.
What?
This emotional blackmail may make them feel uncomfortable enough to reconsider their choice of name. Whatever the outcome, I can't see how your relationship will ever be without bitterness in the future.
Brilliant, thanks.
Well, I think I get a point there for answering the question.
Yeah, Margaret definitely gets a point.
One big fat boring.
Yes!
Now, earlier on, we asked members of our audience if they had any problems they'd like our panel to advise them on, and then dismiss them, like the joke cause we all are. It's Lizzie here, Lizzie with the boyfriend. Right, so Lizzie's problem is... Oh, are you the boyfriend? This is Lizzie's problem. My boyfriend keeps walking around the house naked and washing his balls in the sink without closing the door.
Is it kitchen sink or bathroom sink?
Bathroom.
Okay.
It's quite close to the kitchen, though.
This is disturbing his housemates and their mums.
What?
How can I stop him? So, Lizzie.
So you live with some flatmates and a mum? Is that what it is?
No.
I live with three flatmates and their mums occasionally visit.
Oh, I see. And you're still wandering around naked washing your balls when they visit.
How old are you?
I'm stuck in that kind of mid-20s bit. No, 22.
Stuck in it?
Stuck in it.
Oh, the terrible 22.
That'll sort itself out naturally.
You you're 22, so I'm actually very pleased that you're washing your balls as often as you are, because it's quite
just
unusual.
His balls, though.
Just the balls.
It's just the balls.
Listen,
what is wrong with your balls?
They're the worst offenders.
Do you get the balls out of the sack to do it?
Lizzie is crying.
Why do you not use a shower?
It's easier than getting fully unclothed.
Well, I thought you were naked.
Fully unclothed. So you just walk around with your balls
walking
out?
Walking around. That is totally. Nakedness, but you put on your clothes to wash your balls. Is that what's going on?
Where do you work? Do you have a job? Where do you work? If so,
cannot disclose.
What? Cannot disclose. What? He's a spy.
So you're getting a lot of dust on your balls, a lot of detritus on your balls at your work, which is why you need to clean them.
With some sort of special pouch that's got detergent and water in it that you could clamp around your balls. So it just whenever you felt the need to wash, you could just have a little shimmy. Just a bit of splash.
There's a lot of potential in that.
Yeah. Maybe we should go into business and try and market that to the 22-somethings.
Lizzie,
I'm quite a lot older than you, though, so my balls, I need a bigger bag.
I would suggest, Lizzie, is that you bring it up in some really embarrassing way. In front of a lot of people that neither of you know, and that might sort of drop the hint.
Flies. The only advice I could give you is to go out with someone else.
I'll just say best of luck with all your endeavours.
Was there any advice from the panel that was particularly helpful, Lizzie?
The ball washing system seemed quite good.
Yes! Points to Howard Reed! Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Now it's time for Ask the Expert.
Ask.
Now, in this round, our panel see just how poor their grasp of real life is, living in their media ivory towers. Because they must try and guess what the right thing to do in a situation is, according to our expert special guest, who this week is Headmaster David Whitehead. Hello, David.
Hello, Danielle.
What sort of school do you have?
Good evening, Mr. Whitehead.
Good evening, everybody.
What's the first 10?
It's a primary school.
Are you a friendly, approachable headmaster, or are you one of those evil ones like on the telly?
I like to think I'm friendly and approachable.
That's very nice to know. Well, what the panel have to do is you get 1 minute to ask David a number of questions to try and find out a little bit more about him. And then we will set a scenario and you have to guess what he would do in that situation. So, Margaret, would you like to start the question?
Yes, I would. How many children a week crack their head open at your school? Because it used to happen really, really regularly at mine, and I fear it's a lost art.
It is. And that's because of health and safety, unfortunately. That ridiculous thing, yeah. Maybe a couple of years now.
Not a couple of years?
It's not
high.
Man. Yeah.
Jeremy, do you have a question?
Do you think tickling should be reintroduced?
For certain lessons, yes. Yeah.
Do you have one of those hats?
Do you mean a mortarboard?
Yes, yeah.
No, I don't. No,
Viking.
No. I'd love to have one, but no problem. No.
And who do you think you are?
Who do I think I am? Probably Mr. Bronson from Great Hill, I think. Yeah.
Has anyone ever thrown a sausage on a fork at you?
It's my lifetime's ambition to actually stage that.
Do you believe in capital punishment? Straightforward question. Yes or no answer.
Quicker.
I think it depends. No, I don't. No.
So you don't want to hit them?
That's corporal punishment, Paul.
Capital punishment's hanging.
Hit them to death, you know.
Depends how hard you
hit them. Thank you, Joe. Yes, hit them to death.
No, tickle them to death.
I don't agree with corporal punishment either. No.
Yeah. Well, now you know David as more than some Mrs. McCluskey wannabe. Maybe you can second guess what he'd do in some typical headmaster scenarios. Here is the first one. It is time for morning break. You are looking forward to a soft biscuit and a hard cup of tea. As you walk through the playground, you hear a young boy calling a group of girls a load of bombheads. You tell him off for bad language, but hold off on the poor grammar. That's Mr. English's job. And expect that to be an end of it. But as you turn to walk away, you hear him shout, "Whatever, you big four-eyed twat!" What is the right thing to do in this situation? What do you think David would do in that situation?
I think he would flick on the V's and say, "I don't even wear specs." And
I think, based on his answers from earlier, he would say, "Danny Kendall, I shall see you in my office at 4 p.m.
Paul, what would you do in that situation? Or what do you think David would do?
I don't know. I think he's a sly old fox.
Yeah.
Mm. He licks his lips a lot, which a headmaster should never do. do you have a harvest festival?
We do, yes.
Do you beat the children? I'm just trying to get it out of you.
No.
Do you have a problem with bad language at your school?
Not that I'm aware of, but I'm sure that there is bad language in every school. Any head that says there's not is lying, quite frankly.
Do you think on the last day of the school there should be a correct swearing lesson? The English teacher should say, okay.
Well, that's sex education, yeah, that's what we do.
Sex education in a primary school? Britain's gone bonkers. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
What? But do you tackle?
Well, the basics. No. The basics. You know, washing your balls in the sink, that sort of thing.
They've got lower sinks in schools, haven't they? Especially for that.
Because all we had at school, even when we had at school, was self plant reproduction.
Yeah.
This is always about someone's stamen. I always thought I had a stamen.
Well, David, can you tell us what you would do in this situation?
Well, I think Margaret was hitting on something. I do wear glasses normally, but I've got contacts in tonight. So it depends if I'm wearing glasses, because if I'm wearing glasses, then they're probably right. But
so you go by factory accurate shots there.
It's really low self-esteem.
I would follow the school's discipline policy.
Beating.
I would probably get their parents in and have a
beat
word
them.
With them.
You're allowed to beat the parents, aren't you?
Yeah, beating parents, surely it's fine.
They're allowed to beat you back, though. That's the tricky thing about...
It's just fighting.
It's a minefield.
Well, let's move on to scenario number two, see if any of you do any better. It's the school trip to Paris. Yay, kissing on the back of the bus, sneaking a naughty glass of wine, doing your wee-wees in public. It's every child's dream. You, however, do a head count after using the metro and realise that a boy has gone missing. Not one of the good ones, but you probably have to make an effort to find him anyway. After a frantic half hour of searching the station, a bemused Frenchman comes up to you with the boy and explains that they were on the train at the end of the line. Phew, he's safe. But he knows you lost him and might tell his parents. So what is the right thing to do in this situation? What do you think David did in this situation?
One of those things from Men in Black. Do they shoot like that?
I think you are overestimating the technology available to rural headmasters.
Could you threaten him with expulsion?
But do you think that would put off the little boy telling his parents?
Children are very suggestible, so you could just make out it was basically their fault.
Yeah.
Say, that was a stupid thing to do. You could have got in very big trouble. You could have got the school in big trouble. You've let yourself down. You've let the school down.
You've let mankind down.
I think you're going down the line of saying to the little boy, if you tell your parents, I will kill them. It's just you, Daniel. Well, David, any of those answers near what you would do?
Not really, no. You'd have to be up front. You'd have to get the parents in and tell them, because the child would go home and tell them anyway. We'd have to get to the bottom of why they sort of wandered off and...
Why they wandered off, not why you lost them.
Because, you know, right, wouldn't they? Yeah. I think just go, end of initiative test. Well done, everybody.
You're definitely through to the next round.
Yeah.
Here's the gun. Was anybody close? They weren't, were they? No,
not really.
Well.
They're very sensible, aren't they, teachers?
Well, he has to be. Someone might listen to
What's the craziest thing you've ever done to a child? Within the syllabus.
I think the worst thing I've ever done was I left a child out in the rain for half an hour. it wasn't as bad as that. I was coming back from lunch and...
Not on that day.
And it came across a very long playground to my classroom, and this child was messing about in the line, and so I made him stand by the window of the mobile, took the class in, forgot to do the register first, and it was raining. And about half an hour in, remembered to do the register and called his name, and one of the children put their hand up and just said, Mr. Whitehead, he's outside, and he was at the window. Grappling onto the window, soaked, so I just put him by the radiator for the rest of the afternoon. And I didn't tell his parents in that instance. I just let him go. I was young.
Sack him.
Joan, that's the sort of thing they'll do.
Yeah. I haven't formed an attachment.
I am.
What if the child was part aspirin?
Didn't think of that, did you?
So did I.
But David, is there anything you would like to plug while you're here?
Look out for next year's Geography A level, it's going to be amazing.
we'll have a fete next year or something. So.
To the final round, let's see what the scores are looking like. Producer Ben?
Both teams have 2 points.
Oh. Now we're going to do the wrong thing. In this round, I want the panellists to tell me what they think is the wrong thing to do in any given situation. The wrongest answer will win you £4 worth of used scratch cards. The round will end when Producer Ben's horn goes off. Okay, here goes. You suspect your partner is having an affair. What is the wrong thing to do?
Wash your balls.
Exhume the corpse of Michael Jackson.
Pretty wrong.
Just ignore it all and hope it goes away.
Yes.
You have the power of attorney over Tom Cruise. What is the wrong thing to do?
Wedge him. That's right. Half an elephant.
That's the wrong thing to do. During a family dinner, you notice your mother-in-law has a blob of food on her face. What is the wrong thing to do?
Divorce.
Wedge her.
Have intense sex with her.
And then jizz it off her face.
From the inside out.
Discover that you can read people's minds from their smell. What is the wrong thing to do?
Ask them to fart their PIN number.
Say, is that Chanel number 5 or are you thinking of buying a boat?
Ben is thinking of ending the round.
Well, just like the life of someone with the Black Death who is stubbornly into homeopathy, that was all over too soon. Did you spend what the final scores?
Well, one team have 4 and one team have 5.
But who?
The team with 5 are Howard and Paul! Yeah!
Well, well done, Howard and Paul. Thanks for listening to the show. Goodbye! Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.